早上好。
This is one of my favorite passages in the Bible.
这是我 在 Bible 里面最喜欢的一段话。
And so for that reason, I'd like to open in prayer, just praying that God would communicate through me clearly.
所以我需要在最开始的时候，祷告。
God, I pray that you would just speak to us what you would have to say in this passage, that the questions that we have might be answered, and that we would come away from this knowing what you're asking of us here and what life is offered to us as we abide in you. Amen. So one thing that you should know about me is that I love coffee.
你需要知道我的一件事情是我喜欢咖啡。
Coffee is a fruit. That's something that maybe not everyone knows, but it is a fruit.
咖啡是一种果实，不是所有人都知道它是一个果子，但它是。
And coffee doesn't all taste the same when it's roasted right.
所有的咖啡都吃起来像一样的，如果它被炒的是相同的。
A coffee that you taste from Ethiopia might taste completely different compared to a coffee from, where did I say first, Ethiopia or Colombia? Either way, wherever it is, coffee tastes different.
咖啡吃起来是不一样的，如果是从埃塞俄比亚或者是从哥伦比亚过来的咖啡。
And that's because of something that's called terroir.
那是因为有一些东西叫做风土。
That's a French word that directly translates in English. It doesn't have a direct translation.
这是一个法语啊，如果直接转化成英文的话，没有一个单词。
It roughly means placeness.
大概就是说是风土是地点的意思。
But it's where the plant is rooted. It takes on the characteristics of the soil, the rainfall, all of this environment.
这就是说是一个地点种说根所在的地方包括了土壤海拔还有一些降雨量
The environment shapes the fruit.
这个环境就会决定了这样的根系
So if coffee is grown at a high elevation in volcanic soil, it's typically bright and citrusy.
如果咖啡生长在比较高纬度的比如说火山的土壤中那么它会呈现出比较明亮的柑橘的香味。
But if you take the same plant and plant it lower down in clay, it's chocolatey or more earthy.
但如果这样子的一个咖啡种在比较低海拔里面的比较肥沃的土壤中那么它的味道就更加的浓郁就有点像巧克力的味道。
Fruit reflects where it is rooted.
这果实就会反映了它是在哪里的根系。
And our lives are the same way.
我们的生活也是这样子的。
What we're rooted in shapes what we produce.
我们在根系在哪里的话，我们也会决定了我们的所能产出的。
The environment that we live in, the influences that we open ourselves up to, those shape what fruit we bear.
我们的生活环境的决定了我们什么样的果实结出什么样的果实。
So if someone is rooted in their career, success or performance, often the fruit looks like overwork or exhaustion, pride when things go well, despair when they go wrong.
如果一个人只关注自己的事业成功或者是表现，那么他当事情过展。过人胜利的时候，他就像比较劳累过度；如果是事情失败的时候，往往是绝望。
If someone's rooted in needing approval from others, the fruit can be constant insecurity or people pleasing.
但是如果一个人比较根深蒂固的需要别人的认可的话，那么他的结果往往是持续的不安全感，或者是取悦别人，或者是担心被拒绝。
Jesus, who is the Word with God in the beginning, who participated in creation, he knows this.
耶稣基督知道这些所有的东西。
He knows how coffee grows and he knows how people grow.
他知道咖啡是怎么生长的，也知道人们是怎么生长的。
And on the night before he's going to the cross, he tells his disciples, I am the true vine.
在他死的在十字上十字架前的前一个晚上，他告诉他的门徒说，我是真的葡萄树。
He was showing us, he was showing them and us that the kind of life that we produce depends entirely on where we are rooted.
他就像他们也向我们展示的，就是说，我们活着什么样的生命，完全取决于我们的根基在哪里。
So today's big idea is that everyone produces fruit, but only abiding in Jesus, the true vine, produces lasting fruit that blesses others and glorifies God.
今天的核心思想就是每个人都会结出果实，但只有住在葡萄真葡萄树里面，耶稣才能结出持久的果实，祝福他人，并且能够荣耀上帝。
Everyone produces fruit, but Jesus is the one who determines if it's a really tasty fruit, like a mango, or a really not tasty fruit, like a durian. I'm sorry if you like durians.
每个人都会结出果实，但是只有住在耶稣里面的果实才能够比较的比较好吃。有的人，比如说像芒果啊，那也有不好吃的，比如说像榴莲。
So just a quick roadmap, the picture, we're going to first look at the picture that Jesus presents, and then what it means to be, what it means to abide, and then what it means to produce fruit.
这就是我们的一个大概流程图。首先我们看到的就是耶稣想要呈现的现象，然后我们是要遵守什么意义，结果是到最后是结来的果实。
So for context, John 15 is taking place in the farewell discourse. It's sort of towards the end of Jesus' ministry.
约翰福音的第十五章大概就是说比较一个好的位置，大概是像耶稣基督在结束的那段时间。
The setting is the upper room in Jerusalem where Jesus has just shared the Last Supper with his disciples. Judas has left and now the 11 remain.
故事的背景是耶路撒冷的楼上的房间，耶稣刚刚在那里享用了最后的晚餐，然后犹大已经离开，进入了夜色当中。
These are his last words, or some of his last words to his disciples.
这就是他对那些门徒所说的最后的话，或者是部分最后的话。
The disciples have already seen him do and say amazing things, and with each step, he's revealed more of who he is.
门徒们已经看到了耶稣所说的令人惊奇的事情，每一步都是在推进当中。
And if you've been here this summer, we've walked through all of these but one. I skipped one, but most of these.
在暑假的时候，我们讲了所有的东西，但其中有一个我已经跳过了。
So in John 6, Jesus feeds the crowds, and then he declares, "I am the bread of life, the one who truly satisfies."
在约翰福音的第六当中说在喂饱众人之后，他宣称我是生命的粮，然后真正让人满足的那一位。
In John 8, he heals a man who's been born blind and declares, I am the light of the world, the one who gives sight.
在约翰福音的第八章中，当他治一个一生来就失明的人，他说我是世界的光，带来视力并揭示上帝真理的人。
In John 10, he declares, I am the good shepherd and the gate.The one who protects, leads, and lays down his life for his flock.
在约翰福音的第十章当中，他宣称我是羊的门，我是好的牧人，并且保护、领导羊群，并为羊群献出生命的人。
John 11, which we looked at last time, he declares, "I am the resurrection and the life." As he raises Lazarus from the dead.
约翰福音第十一章就是我们上次讲的，就是耶稣站在耶路撒冷的坟墓前，宣称，复活在我，生命也在我。他是战胜死亡的人。
In John 14, which is in the same speech as John 15 is, he declares, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and the only pathway to the Father.
约翰福音第十四章就是跟十五章一块的那个，他说，是为了他准备他们离开，他就说，我就是道路、真理、生命，通往天父的唯一的道路。
And now in his last and final I am, he says, I am the true vine.
这是最后的一次，一个一章他就说这我是真正的葡萄树。
So every I am reveals a layer of who Jesus is, who he's the one who feeds, who enlightens, who protects, who raises from the dead.
每一章都说了是每一章都传的非常的 清楚，说是他怎么去培养这些葡萄树，喂养他人，启迪人。
And here at the end, he's showing them how they will go on after he is gone from them.
这是最后的一章，就是说他会人们会怎么继续，如果他离开了那些人。
He declares they must abide in him because he alone is the source of their life and fruitfulness.
他就跟他说，他耶稣必定大伙必定因他与他同行，因为他就是在他们的那些果子里面。
So we're first going to look at the picture that Jesus presents. You read most of it in verses 1-8.
首先我们想要看到的是耶稣呈现的景象，我们已经读了从第一节到第八节里面。
There are three characters.
有三个角色。
And it's a beautiful picture because Jesus was walking through the Garden of Gethsemane with his disciples, and he likely saw a vine and pointed to it and said, I am like this vine.
这是一个非常美丽的景色，就是他耶稣基督跟他的门徒们在一块走的时候看到了那个葡萄树，然后他就告诉他说，这是我就是葡萄树。
So in this picture we have Jesus as the true vine, the disciples as the branches, and the Father as the vine dresser.
在这个景象当中，我们就可以看到耶稣基督是真的葡萄树，然后门徒们就是树枝或枝子，然后天父就是那个园丁。
So Jesus declares that he is the true vine, and that declaration is rooted in the Old Testament.
所以耶稣声称说他是真的葡萄树，这样子的声称是基于我们的旧约里面。
Israel was always pictured as the vine of God, but always in a setting that they had failed.
以色列人通常被描绘成一个上帝的葡萄树，但通常是结果通常是一个失败的葡萄树。
Isaiah 5:1-7 is a really good example of this, and I won't read it all for you right now. But
以赛亚书第五章是一个非常好的非常好的样本，但我不会完全的读它们在这边。
Verse 7 says, "The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the nation of Israel, and the people of Judah are the vines He delighted in. And He looked for justice, but saw bloodshed; for righteousness, but heard cries of distress."
我后面再给大话，先。
You can look at that one after. But Jesus declares that he is the true vine. Where Israel had failed, Jesus had succeeded.
所以耶稣基督就声称他是真正的葡萄树，但是以色列就是已经失败了。
Throughout the Old Testament, Israel is tasked with establishing God's kingdom.And being image bearers of God to those around them.
所以耶稣基督就是报给所有在他周围的人呈现了一个这样的现象。
They were called to be instruments of God's blessing to the nations.
他们叫做耶稣他们是神的工具。
But they continually fail.
但他们持续的失败了。
They are self-seeking, fearful, lustful.Greedy, they go their own way and they do what's right in their own eyes.
他们都是自私自利，胆怯好色，贪婪，他们都是一意孤行。
They do not produce good fruit.
他们结不出好的果子。
But Jesus comes to make things right. He is the true vine who will produce good fruit and ultimately lead to the restoration and redemption of all things.
耶稣就是为了来了纠正一切，他是真的葡萄树，必结出好的果子，最终带来万物的救赎和复兴。
He will succeed where Israel had failed.
他将在以色列失败之处取得成功。
Then we see the vine dresser, who is God the Father.
然后我们就看到了园丁，或者是天父。
The vine dresser, also another word for that would be the gardener. He lovingly tends the vine.
这个园丁是另外一个话，就是 葡萄园的管理员。
He prunes fruitful branches, so that they might produce more fruit, and he removes fruitless branches.
他精心地照料葡萄藤，然后让他们产生结出更多的果实，他们也修剪，让它结出更多的枝条。
And he does all of this so that the vine, the vineyard, would be fruitful.
他做最所有的事情，就是为了让葡萄能够更结出更多的果实。
So the vine is the source, the vine dresser is the caretaker. Then there are the branches.
所以，葡萄树就是它的根源，然后园丁就是一个管理的人。
The branches are the disciples.
所以这个树枝或枝子就是门徒。
One thing that is very clear in this picture is that the branches don't produce life; they conduct life.
在这个景象当中，有一点非常明显的就是，这些树枝呢不会产生生命，但是它们会引导生命。
It might be helpful to think of the branches sort of like a piece of copper wire.
也许比较有帮助的，可能就是想象这些树枝像一个铜线。
It doesn't produce anything. It is just the conduit.
它不产生任何东西，但是只是传导一些东西。
And there are two types of branches.
有两种类型的树枝或者枝子。
There are fruitful branches and fruitless branches.
或者多结果子的枝子，或者是不结果子的枝子。
The fruitful branches are those that are abiding in Christ, and the fruitless ones who aren't.
如果是多结果子的那些枝子呢，就是那些住在基督里的那些，然后不结果子的就是不是那样子的。
The results of this picture are either fruit, pruning, or burning.
所以这个结果的一个景象就是产生果实，或者修剪，或者是产生燃烧。
Fruit is the natural evidence of abiding.
这些果实就是自然的产生的那些持久或常住的那些果实。
Fruitful branches necessarily will produce fruit because they're connected to the vine.
这些常结果实的果子枝子嘛肯定是跟那些葡萄树是连在一起的。
Then there's pruning, which is
然后又有修剪，通常就是非常痛苦的。
But pruning is a reward for fruit.
但是修剪其实是一个对于那些果实的最好的奖赏。
It's loving discipline so that we might bear more fruit.
就是因为用爱心去训练，所以我们能结出更多的果实。
This is often uncomfortable.
通常就是非常的不舒服。
And I sort of wish that I could tell you the reward for fruit is rest or I don't know glory.
我看有点想要告诉你们的就是比如说像果实的那些奖赏，通常就是只是说牛奶啊或者什么之类的。
Often in the believer's life, pruning looks like trials or discipline, stripping back.Distractions. It's pain with a purpose.
在那些门徒里面，通常修剪都是会，导致好多的那种痛苦，但是有一个目的性的。
But one thing that we have to hold on to is that pruning isn't punishment.
但是我们需要了解的一个事情就是，修剪并不是一个惩罚。
It's preparation.
它是一个准备。
And then there's burning.
然后就是焚烧
，which is a very sober warning.
其实这就是一个非常的一个
False disciples eventually wither away and they face judgment.
假的门徒通常都会枯萎，并且能够面临审判。
And this specific part can cause fear in the life of a believer.
在这个地方，通常会导致那些恐惧。
There isn't reason to fear.
但是那也没有理由去恐惧。
And we'll get into that when we talk about what abiding is.
我们会讲到那边，当我们讲到常住或常存那边的时候。
So Jesus commands the branches, the disciples, to abide.
所以耶稣要求就是说，这些枝子就是需要门徒们去常存、常住在里面。
The word is used 8 times in 8 verses, and so I think it's worth exploring what it means.
这个词出现了八次，所以值得我们去学习它是什么意思。
My proposal to you would be that we could define abiding as both position and participation.
我的理解就是，这个长存包括了你的地位或者是参与。
The word itself in Greek is menu, and it literally means to remain, to dwell, or to stay.
在希腊里面，这个词大概就是 menu， 就是说在留在里面。
Sorry, if you look at the verse, it's a mutual abiding. I abide in you, you abide in me.
如果你看到这个词的时候，它是一个相互的，就是你在我里面，我在你里面。
And the reason that we can read this passage and not fear is because Jesus is faithful to abide in us.
这个原因会我们为什么不要害怕的原因就是，耶稣他知道我们需要，常住在里面。
So that's what I mean by position. Jesus has secured for us a position of abiding, like he's secured for us a place in his family.
这就是我说的这个位置，就是说，耶稣他已经知道我们，是要我们在他的像他的家庭里面的成员一样。
Being in Christ is permanent, and nothing can sever it, like we see in Romans 8.
相信耶稣基督是一个永久的。
So abiding begins with who you are in Christ, not what you do for Christ.
所以常住在耶稣基督里面就是刚开始就是你是什么而不是你在做什么。
But there is an aspect of this that involves action on our part.
但并不包括我们所我们需要自己所做的东西。
Which is why the word participation is there.
这就是那个参与在这个词的里面。
Often this simply looks like daily obedience.
通常是看到日常的服从。
Choosing what source we are drawing from.
取决于我们哪一个根源里面我们从那边吸收的。
Choosing to daily draw life through the word, through prayer, obedience or spirit dependence.
取决于通过我们的语言、我们的祈祷、服从，或者是依赖我们精神来吸取生命。
And this participation shapes our growth and our fruitfulness.
然后这个参与就会塑造我们的成长跟成果。
So abiding, and this is a little bit confusing, and it has confused me, honestly, in my life as a Christian, but it's both resting and wrestling.
这个塑造这个长存通常会让人非常的误解，我自己也在误解里面，就是它是通常就会成长跟成果。
It's resting in the position that we've been given, while also wrestling to participate daily.
它停在了我们是被提供了什么，但是同时我们也在为我们所需要所奋斗。
Jesus had given the disciples an illustration of what it meant to abide throughout his entire ministry.
耶稣基督已经给了那些门徒们所有的在所有的活动当中都告诉了他们所是要的遵从的。
He was with his disciples daily.
他跟他们的门徒们每天都会
We abide through the Spirit in the same way by being in the presence of Jesus.
我们跟耶稣基督同样的就是住在他们的所有的里面的一样。
Because just like the soil affects the fruit, who we are with, who we spend time with, shapes who we become.
就像那些泥土给了那些所 给我们的激励的一样，我们跟谁在一起，我们就会变成什么样的人。
It shapes the fruit that we produce.
它会塑造了我们所结出的果实。
And so that leads us to a discussion of fruit. What is fruit?
这些就是领导我们 讲一讲怎么是果实，什么是果实。
This was a question that I had very early on in my ministry.
这就是我在很早的时候有一个这样的问题。
So I've mentioned this before, but my wife and I were missionaries in North Africa.
这就是我的跟我的太太们太太说的时候，在我在北非做传道的时候说的。
We were just out of university, and we were young and energetic and very excited to get over there and begin doing work in a Muslim context.
我们刚从大学毕业，然后我们非常的激动，然后我们想要看看。在那个新的世界里面，特别是好多穆斯林的地方。
We arrived, and one of the first meetings that we had was with a missionary who had been there for 10 years.
我们第一个的见面就是跟原来的传道的人在里面已经传道十年的人见面。
And he honestly was rather discouraged in his 10 years of ministry. He had seen two people trust Christ.
他其实很真实的，其实就是说是不鼓励我们，因为他在过去的十年当中就是一个非常，没有很鼓励的。
So it had been like this for years, years of very little visible movement of the gospel.
所以变这个事情已经在那边很久很久了，就是很多就是不能看到我们在。福音的前行。
And then we arrived, and in our first year there, God brought 24 students to Christ.
然后我们就到了，然后第一年的时候，神就带给了我们24个学生。
We had a significantly different strategy. We shared the gospel in the first conversation, every conversation, and we went rather fast. We were talking to young people, but.
我们有不同的策略，就是我们刚开始就宣传福音，但是我们进程都非常的快。
It caused me to ask the question, was I doing something right, and my friend who had been here for 10 years doing something wrong?
这就是给我一个问题，就是我做的对呢，还是我的朋友在这边十年了是不对的呢？
Was it strategy, or was it God? Was I abiding more than him?
是一个策略呢，还是是因为属于上帝的功劳？是因为我更努力的，常住在上帝里面。
Because from the outside looking in, it would be very easy to label our ministry as being fruitful, and my friend's ministry as being fruitless.
如果从外面来看的话，很容易就看到。我们的教会就是比较的结出果实，但是我朋友的那个就不结出果实。
And I think it's for that reason, we use fruit in lots of different ways in our Christian life. It can mean lots of different things.
在我们基督徒的生活当中，这个果实可以用不同的地方，有不同的意义。
But there are some things that I am confident in and.That's one of them is that we should define what fruit is.
有一个我非常有信心的，就是我们需要定义什么是果实。
Because it's very easy to feel hopeless when things aren't going the way that we had wanted, or when things appear to be fruitless, even though you're doing all of the right things.
很通常的就会非常的失望，就是如果我们有些事情不是照着我们想要的那样子发展，或者是我们不知道它怎么往前发展。
So, fruit.
这就是
sorry,
go ahead.
I was moving the page. There are two kinds of fruit.
有两种果实。
Or maybe just different. It's not necessarily two kinds of fruit. They might come from two different places.I'm still figuring out how to phrase this. But.
也不一定就是说两种果实，可能就是他们来自不同的地方。
There's a temptation to make it either the number of people who trust Christ, or so only outward fruit, or to make it only the fruit of the Spirit, so inward growth.
所以有两种启示，一个就是说有人们相信了这个，另外一个就是相信果实在哪里。
And we see both of those kinds of fruit in the Bible. My proposal would be that it is both.
在圣经当中我们看到两个果实，我建议的就是他们是同时存在的。
What's clear is that fruit isn't optional.
但是很清楚的就是果实不是一个选择性的。
It is natural overflow from being connected and abiding.
所以它是自然的存在的，而且是联系的在一起的，长存的。
But it isn't forced. We can't just squeeze really hard and produce fruit.
也不是一个力量，不，我们不是说很挤压的很厉害的时候，我们就可以产出果实。
It's formed.
它是形成的。
So like I mentioned, we see sort of two categories of fruit. There's inward fruit, which is inner transformation by the Spirit, and think.You know, the fruits of the Spirit song.
我们可以看到有两个果实，一个是内在的果实，通常就是由圣灵的带来的内在的转变，或者是外在的果实，就是外在流动的。
Growing in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness.
他就向人们展示了那些爱啊，还有一些各种各样的好处。
But then there also is missional fruit, fruit that is.Moving outward.
也许有一种是使命的果实，就是那种在外面流动的。
And it's an outward flow of that inner growth.
是向外面流动的内在的成长。
It's showing love to others, and it's a testimony to how we have been transformed.
就是向别人展示我们的爱，也是向他们展示我们是怎么样去变化的。
And especially in this context, if you look further down in verse 8 and then 12 through 17, it is especially love for one another.
如果往前看，从第八节或者是第十二节到十七节的时候，就是一个讲是怎么样彼此相爱。
Jesus says, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love.
他们就说，他们若遵守我的命令，就常在我的爱里，正如我遵守我父的命令，常在他的爱里。
I have told you this that my joy might be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love one another as I have loved you.
我告诉你们这些事，是要叫我的喜乐存在你们心里，并叫你们的喜乐可以满足。
So fruit ultimately is Christ's life reproduced.In us.
果实最终的定义就是基督的生命在我们心中的重现。
It is us being transformed inwardly, but then that flowing outward.
是我们从内在里面开始变化，然后从往外里面的流动。
But here's a caution that I have run into in ministry. Don't use fruit as a performance metric.
这边就是一些需要注意的一点，就是不要把果实当成了绩效的指标或者 KPI。
We can be very tempted to define fruit as this many people attending on Sunday, or this many people trusting Christ, or all of these different metrics.
我们通常把果子定义成，比如说好几有在我们教会里面有几个人或者几个人来参加了我们的崇拜，就这样子的各种各样的一些评估。
Those are important. We should strive to do our best. We should strive to reach as many people as possible. But they don't define whether we are abiding or not, or whether we are fruitful or not.
这是很重要的，就是我们需要做我们尽量的往，需要我们的教会需要更多的人，我们做的要更好。但这个不会决定我们是否跟耶稣常在，或者是我们是不是结出了果实。
Either way, no matter what, as we are positioned to abide and participate in abiding, we bear fruit. And the result of that we see in Revelations 7.
任何一个方式都可以，即使我们或者是在是在地位上里面的那种常在，或者是我们在参与里面这个长存里面。
Revelation 7, 9 through 10 says, After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every tribe, nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne, before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes, and they cried out in a loud voice, Salvation belongs to God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb.
在启示录里面第七章第九到十节里面展示了结果。以后我观看见到所有许多的人，没有人能数过来，是从各国各族各民各方来的，站在宝座和羔羊面前，身穿白衣，手拿棕树枝，大声喊着说，愿救恩归于坐在宝座上我们的神，也归于羔羊。
So the fruit of our abiding is nothing short than the transformation of the world.
所以那些我们长存的果实完全都不会由于取决于我们在我们世界的地位。
And it's something that we are given the opportunity, the blessing, the gracious gift to participate in.
因为我们是一些我们被赐予的那些礼物，是我们能够参与里面。
So as we conclude, just as a summary, everyone is abiding in something.Career approval, money, yourself, or Christ.
作为我们的结论，就是说每个人都会执着一些东西，比如说一些事物啊，一些金钱，一些认可，一些自我，或者是耶稣基督。
Those things shape the fruit that we produce.
这些东西会决定了我们的产出的果实。
Abiding is both secure position in Christ and also spirit-enabled participation in his life.
住在耶稣基督里面就是包括两部分，一个是在耶稣基督里面的安全的地位，另外一个包括参与他生活里面。
True fruit is transformed character, outward love, and lasting witness.
真正的果实就是转变他的性格，然后外在的爱以及持久的见证。
Apart from Jesus, we will bear nothing, no good fruit, but with him we will bear much fruit.
如果离开了耶稣基督，我们就是任何的东西都不是，我们没有不能产出好的果实。
So as you spend time meditating on this passage throughout the day, I have two questions for you.
如果你在剩下的时间里面在默祷的时候，我有两个问题给你们。
You can answer them in either direction because both answers are related.
你可以在不同的方向去回答这样的问题，因为他们都是相关的。
Right now, where are you rooted and what are you abiding in?
你的根基在哪里？你住在哪里？
And then what fruit is being produced in your life?
然后是你的生活中现在结出了什么样的果实？
Husbands and wives, it might be a vulnerable exercise, but ask your spouse, what fruit do you see being produced in my life right now?
妻子跟丈夫通常是一个非常的在这边是非常好的一个例子，你就可以问他们生活当中现在结出什么样的果实。
Or if you're not married, simply ask your friend, how do you see me growing right now? What do you see influencing my life?
如果你没有结婚的话，你可以问问你们的朋友，就是说在我现实生活当中我现在变得什么样了。
When we abide in Christ, we are given the opportunity to become like Christ and experience his life. This is the way that we live a life that is worthy of God, but also full of the fruits of the Spirit with peace and joy and the good things that we want to experience.
这就是我们经历的，在生活当中说执着于耶稣基督的话，就是我们所经历的这些爱啊和平安喜乐，所有的在生活当中的展示出来。
So I'll pray as we close.
我们祷告。
God, I do just pray that we would abide in you, that we would take honest looks at our lives.And recognize where we are abiding in you and maybe where we are not, where we are allowing other things to influence our desires and our affections and where we are letting you be that influence. God, I ask that you would make this a church that abides in you and through whom the city of College Station is transformed and ultimately,the world is transformed. We ask that you would be with us as we do that, that you would fill us up, and that you would bring a fruitful harvest here. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.